Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, and joining us is our lifelong pastor, John Bell. How you doing, John?
It's going really well, Dean.
You know, I feel like we're back in the rhythm of this. I really enjoy this time.
Yep.
I really enjoy picking your brain. And so, but before we start, I just want to ask you something. I was thinking about something today, and do you think that it's more difficult to be a pastor today, or do you think it was more difficult to be a pastor when you started, you know, decades ago?
Yeah, I think ministry is always tough. So over the years, I have I've trained a lot of men in ministry, and I tell them, you know, from the very start, you know, you have these glorified views. Everybody does. Everybody thinks something is going to be easier than it is, and it's always harder. And, you know, the flock is described as sheep. That just means...
Not too bright. Sheep are not too bright.
Yeah, and so you know, if you're a good, faithful shepherd, my goal was to finish well, even when I started. I just wanted to finish well, stay away from temptation, and, you know, don't give in. You know, it's money, greed, those are big things in ministry. People... pride is a big thing, because you start believing what people are telling you, because people are seeing you on stage. So they have this glorified view of who you are. And I always would say to people, you know, I'm not that guy on stage. If you knew me, there would be some things about me you probably wouldn't like. So mm-hmm. Pride, you know, just having people around you who can keep your feet planted on terra firma, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, money also. So some pastors on one end aren't paid enough, and others are overpaid. And again, I just think that just staying with that purity of calling of the ministry. But yeah, I think today, especially in America, you know, with all the affluence, they call it affluenza, you know. So with all mm-hmm. the affluence that people have, it's like, I know we're going to talk at some point about, is it easier if you're wealthy? Is it easier if you're poor to walk with God? So, yeah, I think it's harder, but I think always stick with the word of God. Stick with the word of God. Don't try to just entertain people. I always want to make it interesting for people, but I always want to be loyal to the scripture, even if it is against the current, so to speak.
Yeah, excellent. All right, I appreciate your insight. And, you know, John, would you say, so my time in ministry, and it was limited, and it was more of a management role, but I tell people, ministry is really not that different than the business world. I mean, it's really the same. You got the same people. I mean, you really have, you know, it's very similar to the regular world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to work with people, right? Leading people is right. Always a challenge. You have a lot of personalities involved. There's an idea that, so I think sometimes some congregations are hard on their pastors, and I think other times that pastors are hard on their congregations. But yeah, back to your business idea. You still have to have organization. You still have to have planning. You still have budgets. You know, you have to have planning and strategy, and you have to motivate people. So yeah, all the things that you would be doing in business. But yeah, you're doing it, and you're doing it mostly with volunteers for the most part.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's start this edition of Off the Cuff with the question for today. So, John, how does the Bible describe heaven? And then how does the Bible describe hell?
Okay, well, let's start with heaven. That's a lofty thought. So let's start with heaven. So the only passage of Scripture, which people don't realize, the only passage of Scripture that really describes heaven is found in the book of Revelation, Chapter 21. And it's very short. 21 and 22 describe heaven. a lot of passages in the Old Testament, people mistakenly think they're describing heaven. They're not. They're actually describing the kingdom. So when Christ comes in his second coming, he's going to establish a throne in the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to rule the earth for 1,000 years. That's the kingdom, right? And most.
So now let's just be clear. In the city of Jerusalem, we're talking about the dirt, the land in
Jerusalem
as we know it today.
The current Jerusalem is going to be the center of the earth. And if you think about it, think about how much Jerusalem is in the news. Why is that? Because that ultimately is going to be the culmination of strategic battles that are going to determine the future of the world. So Jesus is going to rule on the throne of David, which is, he's a descendant of David. He's going to rule on the throne of David for 1,000 years. And essentially what's going to happen during that 1,000 years, and we're going to be ruling. If you are a believer today, you should think of what is going on in your life as training to rule, because we're going to be ruling and reigning with him during that 1,000 years. And that's a whole separate question for us to get into at some point. But then following that 1,000 years, then the world as we know it, the universe as well, everything that of the first creation, back to the kingdom. Jesus as the king is going to restore the world to the Garden of Eden. It will look like, and righteousness will rule and reign. So, but then following that, the current.
So wait, one more question there. Are we in the bodies that we know today?
No, we are in glorified bodies. There will be people in physical bodies. Again, this is a whole separate question for us to tackle. But we will be ruling and reigning in resurrected bodies. And then following that, everything, the first creation, the present creation, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, life as we know it, it's all going to be destroyed by fire. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. Then in Revelation 21, you here's how it opens. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." So in this heaven, this new heaven and this new earth is going to be glorious. Everything's going to be new. Here's some things that it says about it. He will wipe away tears from their eyes. So no more crying. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no pain. The first things. So in the destruction of the first creation, all of the corruption of the first creation is also going to pass away. And then he says, "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." So everything is going to be new. And this is, heaven is really the beginning of eternity. So we right now experience eternal life, but we don't experience heaven. In this new heaven and new earth, we're going to experience eternal life in heaven itself. And the, you know, for me, the best thing, I mean, it describes, you know, the New Jerusalem is described beginning in verse 10, you know, talks about the pearly gates and the streets of gold and, you know, all of those kinds of things. And I think what that represents is just that the things, I think of like this, like right now, gold is something we treasure. Heaven is going to be so wonderful that gold will be something that we walk on. So, in other words, everything is flipped. Everything that people think is valuable today in heaven will be it will be like an everyday occurrence. But the most important thing,
yeah, gold is like asphalt.
Yeah, gold is like asphalt, exactly.
In heaven.
And the wonderful thing is he is going to be with us. He's going to be the light of this new world because he's the energy source to begin with, Jesus. And it says he will tabernacle which means he will dwell with his people. So we literally will be with our Savior, our Lord. One of my favorite old hymns is "Face to Face with Christ my Savior, Face to Face with my Lord." And that's what heaven is for me, is I get to be with Jesus forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So not a lot as far as what Scripture says about
him. No. Most of all the descriptions in the Old Testament that people often think of, like the wolf will lie down with the lamb, you know, eternal righteousness, there will be laughter in the streets.
How about, you know, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard.
First Corinthians 2. Yeah, that's the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Yeah, it's like,
right.
So it's a very, heaven is unimaginable, but it's every, so, you know, I've often said that everyone has this longing in their heart for a utopian world, you know, a perfect world. Heaven is that utopia. Actually, the kingdom is the beginning. When Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem, the kingdom is the beginning of that utopia. But heaven is it. Heaven is the kingdom on steroids.
Mm-hmm. So let me just ask this, and then we'll go to hell. Not literally. So if you do not know Jesus Christ and you die tomorrow, and then when the New Jerusalem is being created, where are you?
Okay, well, today if people die, they, you know, Luke chapter 16 describes what happens to people when they die. They go to Hades, and that's hell. So that's a good lead into hell. So if a person dies without Jesus Christ today, they go to Hades, and Hades is not their destiny. Their destiny, if you die without Jesus today, hell is kind of hell or Hades. So around Jerusalem, there's a valley, the Kidron Valley. And a part of that Kidron Valley is where people threw their trash. And because there were always burning, it was continually burning. And the worm was there. And, you know, it was just a place of torment. That's what hell is. So if a person dies today, they go to Hades, and, you know, in their spirit, not in their body. Obviously, their body, their body just goes in the grave. But who they are, yes, as a soul and a spirit, they go to Hades, and Hades is the beginning of eternal punishment, the ultimate.
And so Hades is kind of like a layover to your final destination.
Yeah, it's like a place where you go, where your soul and spirit are. You're separated from your body. But then one of these days, even people who don't know Jesus are going to be resurrected. They're going to be given a body as well. But their resurrection is going to take them to the great white throne judgment. And there at the great white throne judgment, then they're going to be sentenced to the lake of fire. And again, this is back in Revelation chapter 20. So they will go to, and the lake of fire is where the lake of fire was actually created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't supposed
to. Okay, so we're kind of segueing right there. So let's pick it up right there, and let's talk about what Scripture says about hell.
Okay, so hell, as I said before, hell is a place where people who don't know Jesus, their soul and spirit goes today. The lake of fire is a place where they get a resurrected body and they end up in there for eternity. Hell is not eternal. The lake of fire is eternal. So the best description, again, is Luke chapter 16, where you have the rich man and Lazarus who die. They both die. One goes to paradise and one goes to hell or Hades. And it's a place of torment. It's a place of punishment. Just read the text there in Luke 16. And their thirst, you know, they're dying of thirst. They're separated. They're isolated. It's dark. You know, it's a place of eternal darkness. So it's a the way I think of hell is, and by the way, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell. Everybody gets the future that they choose. So you can choose. You get to choose heaven or hell. You get to choose eternal life in the new heavens or the lake of fire, separated from God. And the worst thing about hell is that God isn't there. So the reason I say that is because I think the thirst represents a thirst for life, because a believer has this spring flowing up inside of them from the Holy Spirit, which represents life. So they just experience death and loneliness over and over again. So I think of it as like a Mad Max movie, you know, where it's a dystopia. Yeah. So I said before, everybody has a longing for a utopian world. Hell is a dystopian world. It's a place where nothing works. You know, if you put a quarter, if you put a dollar into the Coke machine, nothing comes out. If you put out hoses to water the lawn, no water comes out. So it's like a Mad Max movie, or it's like The Walking Dead. And the choice that people have is, people say, well, why does God send anyone to hell? It's like, well, God doesn't send anyone to hell. So here's your choices. God demands that we live a perfect life. That's what the Ten Commandments represent, is a perfect life. Now, what we should all learn is none of us can actually keep all the commandments that God has given to us. None of us love God and love our neighbor the way that we're supposed to. So if you fall short of the commandments, if you fall short of the standard that God has set, then what are you going to do? Well, that's why Jesus came. So if you say, you know what, I can't follow those commandments, I can't live up to those commandments, God says, I know. So here's what I've given to you. I've given you my son, and he lived a righteous, perfect life. And you can get the credit for his righteous, perfect life if you will say, I have to stop living the way I'm currently living and thinking and acting, which is repentance. And I want to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you'll do that, then heaven is your destiny. You just went from hell and the lake of fire into your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all the righteousness of Jesus Christ is added to your account. And that's all that God sees.
Hmm. Yeah, John, that's... I mean, that is the gospel right there. And so to clear up some things, hell is not appealable. You are not going to be prayed out of hell.
Yeah, there's no such thing as
Once you're there, that's it for eternity.
So here's what Hebrews says. Hebrews says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes judgment. So you've got this life. In this life, here's your choices. You can try to live a perfect life, which you won't be able to do, or you can receive a savior and a new king in your life. And if you do that, then you get all of the credit of his life.
And just like hell is not appealable, heaven is your resting place for eternity.
Well, it's not going to be a resting place. We're going to be pretty active, like I said.
I know, you always catch me. Every time I see RIP, I always think of you, because you say, no, there's no such thing as resting.
There's nobody resting. I mean, if you die without...
And how perfect is that for me?
So if you die without Christ, don't believe me, or believe me, there's no rest. And if you die with Christ, then... then the adventure really begins. I back to what you said earlier from 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Like, yeah. It's unimaginable.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's exciting. That's great. That's great news. All right, John, we're at that 20-minute mark where I like to, as we agreed, we want to make them fast so people could listen and be on their way. If you just stumbled across this, you know, people have called and they've asked, they said, hey, how do I listen to past, actually they emailed, how do I listen to past episodes? And you go to AmazingMenMinistries.com. AmazingMenMinistries.com. Up in that navigation bar, you'll find a series button. You hit that button and you just go to Off the Cuff. Click on that Off the Cuff and you'll see all of our series of Off the Cuffs. If you go back to that button, you'll see all the other series that John and I have worked on and are continuing to work on. So on behalf of Senior Pastor, our lifelong pastor, John Bell, I'm Dean Vitale saying thanks for listening. Look forward for you to tune in next time. Goodbye for now.